We know that the two central mitzvos that define the holiday of Sukkot are the sukkah on the one hand, and of course the arba minim, the lulav, the esrog, hadassah, and varavos on the other hand. What's interesting is to analyze some of the differences between these two fundamental and pivotal mitzvos. One difference, in fact, is noted in the Gemara, and that is that when it comes to the arba minim, the lulav, etc., especially on the first day of the Chag, the Gemara is quite clear, based on a drasha, that every person must own their own arba minim in order to be yotzei the mitzvah. Based on the pasuk of lakachtem lachem, that you shall take the arba minim, it's a double redundant lashon, v'lakachtem already means you should take, why do we need lachem? The Gemara says it teaches us that a person has to own their own arba minim. Of course, in days gone by, when arba minim were much less prevalent, not everyone could actually own their own, so this would be accomplished by, after a person taking their own arba minim, then gifting in a full and unreserved gift, so that there's a full halachic kinyan to the recipient, they would gift their arba minim to someone else who would then take official halachic ownership, and then they could shake the lulav. But without a doubt, says the Gemara, it's a din d'oraisa, everyone has to own their own arba minim on the first day of Sukkot in order to be yotzei. It should be noted that this year we're not taking arba minim because on the first day because of Shabbos, but in a normal year when you're taking arba minim on the first day, it has to be owned. Nevertheless, despite this halacha, that is only true for the arba minim. However, the Gemara in Sukkah on Daf Chav Zayin tells us that personal ownership is not required to fulfill the mitzvah of Sukkah, even on the first night where there's a, as we all know, a very significant chiyuv, a strict obligation in order to at least eat a minimum amount in the sukkah. And this contrast between the halachos of arba minim, which a person has to own on the first day, and sukkah, which a person does not have to be in their own sukkah. You don't have to have your own sukkah. We know people go out all the time, unfortunately now not in the time of corona, but in normal years people invite each other out, people visit their families for sukkahs, even on the first days, and that's not considered a problem. Why not? What's the basis of the discrepancy? So the Gemara gives a somewhat interesting verse. The Gemara quotes the pasuk in Vayikra and Emor and Perek Chav Gimel, Kol ha'ezrach b'Yisrael yeshvu basukos. That every citizen, every member of the Jewish people should sit b'sukos. And the Gemara darshins in a twist that this comes to teach us, Malamid shiru in kol Yisrael leishev b'sukachas. That in theory, it should be possible, if you had a sukkah big enough, that every Jewish person in the whole world could sit in the same sukkah. So leave aside the engineering challenges that would require, but implicit in this drasha, of course, is the idea, if there's one sukkah for everyone sitting in it, not everyone owns a sukkah. It must be, I don't know who owns it, but most people sitting in that sukkah would not be the owners. And yet, as the Gemara says, Ru'uyin kol Yisrael leishev b'sukkah achas. Everyone could sit in the same sukkah. There you see, says the Gemara, based on this pasuk, that a sukkah sheula, a borrowed sukkah, sitting in your friend's sukkah, is not a problem even on the first night. Okay, that's the halacha, that's the basic din. You must own the arba minim on the first day, you don't need to own your own sukkah on the first night. Comes along Rav Kook, in a beautiful, beautiful insight. This is quoted by his Talmud, Rav Neria, in the beautiful Sefer Mo'adei HaRi'iyah, page 96, and at least in the version I had, and Rav Kook asks the following. Why does the Gemara use such a striking lashon? Why can't the Gemara just say, based on this pasuk of a kol ezrach, therefore you don't have to own your own sukkah? Why does the Gemara articulate it in this very flowery way, that it, as if all the Jewish people sat in one sukkah? It makes the point, but it seems to be unnecessarily poetic or flowery, not usually what the Gemara would do in a halachic discussion. So Rav Kook explains as follows, that really, unity among the Jewish people is our natural spiritual state. We all have a neshama. All of our neshamas come from the same source. We're all branches of the same tree. And therefore, there should be no divisiveness. There should be unity. It's actually the natural spiritual state of the Jewish people. Now, of course, we have all the jokes, two Jews, three opinions. But the truth is, says Rav Kook, that type of factionalism and divisiveness is actually counter to our essence. Where does that come from? How come we can't be true to our essence? Says Rav Kook, that comes from sin. As we go throughout the year and we sin, everyone on their own level, but we all sin, our sins contaminate our soul, and as a result, they cloud the reality of our unity. We know many Mefarshim speak about the deleterious and spiritually damaging impact of sin. Sin is not just an act of rebellion, but it's spiritually unhealthy for the person. And one of the negative consequences of sin, says Rav Kook, whatever your sin was, but the more sins you have, the more dirty, if you will, the more spiritually contaminated your soul gets, and that distorts your ability to see the world properly. And as a result, that clouds out the reality, and therefore we think that there are these huge differences between this type of Jew and that type of Jew. We don't see with clear lenses. Our glasses are dirty. When we have dirty glasses, we see the world in a distorted way. We don't see the true unity. That is the reality throughout the year, unfortunately. Comes along Rav Kook and says, Yom Kippur cleanses our neshama. Yom Kippur, we get forgiveness and we are repaired. Yom Kippur has the power to return things to the way they ought to be. And therefore, we emerge from Yom Kippur closer not only to Hashem, but also with a clearer vision, and we realize a greater natural unity and achdus between our fellow Jews. Yom Kippur returns us to our shoresh, returns us to our true essence. We can see the world with clear glasses and perfect and calibrated spiritual vision. The arrival of Sukkot, coming just a few days later on the heels of this purification, says Rav Kook, is an ideal opportunity to demonstrate the increased feelings of brotherhood and the true harmony between all Jews. And is this idea that the Torah and mitzvot are truly to lead to achdus? This is what the Gemara was alluding to when it describes the entire Jewish people as sitting together in one sukkah. It wasn't just conveying the technical halacha, but it was using the opportunity in the poetic illustrative language to make the point that these mitzvot, such as sukkah, are highlighting, especially since we can see the world with pure spiritual glasses after Yom Kippur, that in fact we truly are unified, we truly are able to be under one roof. Perhaps I would add, this is why we say Sukkah Shlomecha or Sukkah Shalom, perhaps not just from the external threat, but the internal shalom as well.